You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
All right, so what we're going to do today is walk through the Lord's Prayer. I'm not going to really preach or teach a whole lot today because we really want to be about praying. So please position yourself so that you can be praying together in that group. Long as you can see each other, hear each other, we're going to minister to each other. I want to encourage you to go ahead and prophesy or share a word of encouragement as the Lord directs you to as we're praying. But really want to encourage you, this is not, please don't take time to share testimonies or stories or things like that. I see that four or five over there, but I'm going to let that go for the moment. Want to really devote ourselves to prayer. We're in the series right now where we're seeing what the first Christians did, the first church that Jesus established. All right, these are people who had Jesus, literally Jesus, for a pastor for 3.5 years. And then they went and kept on doing what Jesus taught them to do. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and forth. But most importantly of all, they devoted themselves to prayer. So I do want to encourage you to make this a part of every time you're together with saints. You have a game night, you want to have fun and laugh together. That's awesome too. Jesus loves it all. He loves the sound of his kids' laughter. And he also loves when his kids turn their attention to him so that he can manifest himself in some kind of way. And as we just turn our heart to the Father right there, that's the atmosphere of prayer for us. We're not praying to a God who's distant and far off. We're not praying to a God who is unconcerned with that which concerns us. Our Father knows our needs before we even ask. He's intimately acquainted with all of our ways. No matter what it is that we're bringing to God in prayer, he's already long since aware of it, probably just been there waiting for us to turn our gaze to him for a minute so that he could give us heaven's answers to what we're facing, heaven's grace for what we're facing, the power of God to overcome some obstacle that we find in our way. So that's the atmosphere of prayer. As we pray, we're not calling on the Lord like we have to beg him to answer. We're not calling on the Lord as those who have to jump through some hoops and pull some levers and push some buttons and approach in a certain manner. We're coming as easily and as quickly as a child comes to their dad. I mean, in a good functional kind of way. I drove home a few days ago and my daughter, Tay, we were up there just praying over her a few minutes ago. I pulled up in my car. I stepped out. She was on our new trampoline. She got off the trampoline and came running over to give me a hug. Every dad in the room knows what I was experiencing in that moment. She turned her attention to just express love for me, and it was just as quick as a hug. She gave me a kiss on the cheek, and as she was back on that trampoline, as soon as a human being could move. But she took the time to turn aside and look at her father. That's all the prayer is. We're taking the time to look at the Father and bring some things. So this prayer that we're praying, this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, it really might be better called the disciples' prayer. I mean, Jesus was teaching them, this is how I pray. To answer your question, how should we pray? Pray like I pray. First of all, come to the Father. And here's the first thing that I want you to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is an alignment issue right here. Because how many of us come to the Lord primarily, honest survey question now with a show of hands, for the most part, how many of us primarily come to the Lord in prayer because there's an issue that we need to pray for? Most of the time, if you're praying, it's because you got an issue. Keep your hands up. Don't be ashamed. I got my hand up literally. There's nothing wrong with that. So when Jesus said, I want to teach you how to pray, but here's the first thing I want you to pray. I want you to set your mind on things above. I want you to set your thoughts. I want you to set your view. No matter what the need is, I have this desperate thing that just happened to me. I have this tragic thing that's occurring. I have this thing that's bringing anxiety into my life. And Jesus is like, look, we're going to get to that. But first, let me teach you how to connect with heaven. And if you want to connect with heaven, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added unto you. So when we start out in prayer saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're setting our hearts to actually hear from heaven. Because let's be honest, most of us, when we have a need, we go to God and say, I'm praying, but I already know what you're going to need to do about this. I already have an expected end to this conversation. And if it doesn't go my way, well, maybe we're not going to talk for a while. Don't look at me like that. You all know what I'm talking about. We pray and say, as Jesus prayed in the garden, if it be possible for this cup to pass from me, that would be great. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, here's what we're going to take a few minutes to pray. This one, whether it's individual, you got a situation in your life that you want the others to pray over you, or you have a concern for our region, our town, our nation, the prayer literally reads in the original language, kingdom of God come, your kingdom come. Like, I am calling it down to the earth. It's a forceful declaration. It's not a, oh, please, would your kingdom come? It's a kingdom of God come, will of God be. That word done is actually not in the original language. Your will be. I am declaring that your will shall be just like you said it should be. So there is an authority in this part of the prayer. This is, again, us connecting with heaven and declaring with our mouth in the earth what the will of God's going to be. So what in your life or in the life of your town or your nation do you want to declare as you pray this portion of the Lord's Prayer? Where you're saying, this does not belong here. If it didn't originate in heaven, then it doesn't belong in the earth. That's the stewardship of our lives. If it didn't originate in heaven, we don't make a peace treaty with it. We don't settle for it. We don't say, well, you know, it is what it is. There is no such thing as it is what it is if there's anything of the kingdom of darkness remaining in a place where God's given us authority. So whatever it is in your family, your individual life, your town, your region, let's pray into that for a few moments right now. Kingdom of heaven, come, will of God be on earth just like it is in heaven. Go ahead and take a few moments to pray together. Lord, let your invasion into our hearts continue to deepen. May it be richer until our will is your will and your will has become our will. That we've delighted ourselves in you so much that you've given us the desire of our hearts, and our heart's only desire is what your heart desires. Lord, we feed on you in this our daily bread. And when Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, there's such richness in this meaning. He was speaking to people who literally were living day to day. These were people who, poverty, we almost don't even know the meaning of poverty compared to what the world was like when Jesus came. These were people who were literally scratching out a bare bone living and were praying for their next meal. So that's the first level of it. But we know that Jesus taught us some things about himself. And he said, for I am the bread which came down from heaven. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. He was saying that that manna thing that your forefathers did, that was me. And the miracle of the manna was very simple. As Israel was sojourning in the wilderness, they had no food. There was not enough things to eat for a million and ever-growing population of people. So God said, during your wilderness years, I'm going to bless you with supernatural bread. Every morning, you're going to step out of your tent, and right on the ground is going to be breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Cook it however you want, but you can guarantee, you can count on it. However, gather only enough for the day, because this stuff will not last tomorrow. Of course, the people of Israel were just like us, and they tried storing it overnight, and it got stanky and maggoty the next day. So here's the revelation and what Jesus taught us to pray. Whatever provision we got from heaven yesterday isn't going to work today. And the reason why this prayer is so powerful, when he taught us how to pray, there was a reminder It's daily bread. I can't get bread for the journey for the rest of the year. I can't just have this like one day retreat with Jesus and he speaks to me. I had a great time of prayer and I could just ride on that for weeks or months on end. It doesn't work like that. How many of you have ever gotten burned out doing good things? The miracle of the manna is the word to us, and it's what we're calling on the Lord for. We need you every day. I need a refreshing of grace. I need to feed off the bread of life, Jesus, every day. Whether that means prayer, whether it means worship, whether it means turning our heart to the Lord, and whatever all of the myriad of ways we connect with heaven. The point is, we need it every day. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When we revel in that truth, we're praying for our daily bread. So the first thing is a natural provision. Though we work hard with our hands and our hearts, all provision comes from the Lord. So as we pray this, we're thanking God that he gave us the ability to make wealth. Thank God for whatever gifts and abilities he gave us that cause us to be able to earn the kind of money that we earn so that, I mean, there are very few Americans who are literally saying, I don't know where my next meal is coming from. Let's never take that for granted, that we're blessed as we honor the Lord and remember we're not better than somebody else. We've just been good stewards of something that was given to us as a gift. And then, so that's all provisions from the Lord. So if you're here today within your group and you're facing unemployment, you're facing some kind of thing that's really affecting your daily bread, your sustenance, by all means, ask that group to pray for you. Or maybe you just want to offer up thanks today. Thank you, Jesus. I don't take for granted. My paycheck is not my supply. You're my supply. And I don't take that for granted. But on a deeper, and I believe really what Jesus was getting at with this daily bread is that true bread which came down from heaven. And we need a fresh supply every day. Ask the Lord for a fresh supply for your soul today. Is there something that you've been missing in your life? If you feel like, you know what, I'm growing weary in well-doing right now. I'm feeling a bit worn out by the many things I've got on my plate. I'm feeling worn out. It's not like I've really messed up somewhere and consequences are coming. I just feel tired. Call on the Lord and ask him for daily bread for you and invite that. Confess that to your group. I'm on the edge of burnout right now. Would you please pray for me? I need my daily bread to sustain me, not physically, but spiritually. Let's go ahead and call on the Lord for daily bread. Thank you, Jesus. You can wrap up praying whatever you're praying. I'm going to move us into the next part of this prayer, which is probably the one that we take the most for granted. We can maybe say that about all of them. But when Jesus said, I want you to pray this, I want you to pray this way, forgive us our debts as we forgive, or as we have forgiven those who are in debt to us or have forgiven our debtors. We've come so accustomed to, and it's a true statement, that we're forgiven in Jesus' name, that we've been crucified with Christ, no longer we who live, but Christ who lives with us, that there is nothing of our lives, from anything from the point of history leading right up to this moment, that we're held accountable for in heaven. That there's just no punishment. We've already passed through the other side of judgment. It was crucified on the cross, as were we in Christ. But this prayer is all about, when Jesus taught us to pray, how many of you have learned about Jesus? He's very much a rubber meets the road kind of guy. He's not a pie in the sky. This is not a theory that we've come to. This is not a set of doctrines that we've come to believe. He's a living God who's very real in the real world. And he knows our frame, and he knows how quick we are to step right back into the muck that he just pulled us from. And so the first thing he taught us to pray was to pray, would you forgive us our debts? Forgive us for what we've done. If you grew up Catholic, confession's a normal part of your everyday life. There's confession is a rite. It's a ritual. You do it frequently. I just want to say this. You know, I'm not a Catholic basher. I think there's some doctrinal points that I couldn't disagree with more strongly. But there's some elements of what they still carry that go back all the way to the apostolic age, and this is one of them. James wrote about it. He said, confess your faults to one another, or confess your sins to one another, that you might be healed. Why? Because the fervent effect of prayer of a righteous man avails much. You keep falling into the same sin. Maybe you're just one confession away from somebody praying for you that you'll be forgiven. Which doesn't just mean that heaven's shining its face on you. Forgiven means you're not carrying the weight of that thing anymore. You can think of a debt like every time you do a certain thing, you're putting rocks in your backpack. And until there's this cleansing process of confession. I think confession's a tremendous gift of God. Confession simply means I agree with heaven that what I did was wrong. That's all confession means. I am on purpose fixing my thoughts on this fact that what I did, what I continue to do is wrong. Now with that, this is where maybe some of the old school thinking needs to be just considered stinking thinking and we throw it to the side. The thought with that can come from the accuser is shame on you. I did this thing. I keep doing this thing. Shame on me. Maybe I'm not a child of God. Just throw that thought right out the window for a minute. And instead, let's view confession as this. Hey, Dad, I did it again. And now I got these weights in my backpack. And I feel it. I'm feeling the weight of what I've done. The beauty of being in Christ, the beauty of the new creation that we are, is that we're one confession away of Jesus saying, all right, let me pull that stuff out of your backpack. Now go out and play. Confession isn't just for Catholics, and forgiveness is not something to take for granted. See, this is where we mess it up. And remember, this is Jesus teaching his disciples how to live the new life that he was giving to them. So this isn't like old covenant. Now you got to come and sacrifice. You got to go through all these hoops to be forgiven. This is Jesus saying, here's how to enjoy the new life. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. This is what the kingdom looks like that I'm bringing to you. Here's how you live in my kingdom. And my kingdom is going to involve confessing your sins so that you can be free, so that you can be forgiven of those things. So rather than take it for granted, sometimes we live that way. And it's a true revelation of grace. That the Father is always willing to forgive, but it's also a true revelation of reality that we pile up sins on ourselves. And that's why the writer of Hebrews said, therefore, laying aside every weight, laying aside the sin that gets in our way, that besets us, let's run with perseverance the race set before us. That's what confession's all about. It's saying, yeah, I did it again. Guilty as charged. Would you please forgive me? That's this reset button. The Father's face is always toward us, but we have this tendency toward shame. I blew it again, so I'm going to punish myself and stay distant from God. I'll send myself to my room. And confession, when we do this every day, this Lord's Prayer is an everyday prayer. I don't mean that it's an everyday as in ordinary. I mean that it's an everyday reset button connecting us to heaven. And this is the cleanup job part. This is the, you know, all God's creatures eat and all God's creatures dispel their waste. This is the waste system that God's given us in the body of Christ. The dung gate, if you remember that word I preached a while back. So there is that aspect of it. But then Jesus went on and he said, pray this way, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. So it's not just I'm in need of forgiveness, but I'm also maybe in need of recognizing maybe I picked up an offense along the way. And I'm becoming like the unmerciful servant who's come to you asking for forgiveness, but I can't wait for them to be punished for what they did to me. And when that begins to settle in, how many of you have ever had that affect a relationship or two? Is there any husband or wife that doesn't know what that leads to? We're asking for forgiveness, but we're also saying, I'm in this process, this freedom you're giving me from what I did. Yes, I acknowledge I owe you something for that, and you've freely forgiven me. My part of this covenant relationship is I'm going to freely forgive as I've been freely forgiven. This is so powerful, and this is why I invited you to get communion elements, which, by the way, you can open up now and get ready. This is a good moment to partake of communion. It's an amazing thing because in both Matthew and Luke, Jesus revisited this one prayer. There's a whole lot going on in this way that Jesus taught us to pray, where the kingdom of God, will of God being on earth, daily bread, it's all amazing. Then we come to this part where forgive us as we forgive others. And Jesus revisited it at the end of the prayer. And he said this, Matthew records, he said, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Remember, this is Jesus teaching his disciples a few things about how this kingdom we're in operates. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Now, that's not to suggest that somehow the cross lost its power because we're walking in unforgiveness. That's not to suggest that if we die and we haven't forgiven somebody, like some of the old school thought was, well, that means now we're going to hell. That is not what this means. That's what the enemy would love us to believe. It's what it means. Jesus is introducing us to an experience that we can have in life through forgiveness. Or an experience we can have in life through unforgiveness. The first thing Jesus said about the Holy Spirit after he rose from the dead, before the day of Pentecost, John says he breathed on his disciples. He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I sent you." He breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." First thing he wanted them to know about this Holy Spirit in them now, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. You now have the power to forgive supernaturally. You now have the same spirit as I had in me when I looked at those that put me on that cross and I said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's all yours now, and it's yours to use. It's yours to enjoy this new life that I've given you unencumbered. So, our experience of the forgiveness of God is completely dependent on our forgiveness of others. Not our salvation, but our experience of that freedom. Our experience of living life in the land of grace and mercy is completely dependent. And I want to encourage you to just take a look inward for a minute as we pray this part. This is the heaviest part of the prayer. And I would propose in all of my years of ministering to people, the most important line of the whole prayer. Most people that I've ministered to, their freedom is one forgiveness away. One letting go of judgment, one letting go of a hope, a vindictive spirit, or a desire for punishment to come to the one who hurt. Our freedom is often just one forgiveness away. Our experience of our own forgiveness and the freedom that comes can come just by forgiving. So just take a moment alone with the Lord. And just see which part of this he wants you to enter into right now. That was a whole lot I just downloaded to you. And I'm not suggesting you have time to pray all that right now. I do encourage you to make this a practice. That you clean out your dung gate. That you find a way to confess your sins in a way that gets real with God. Face to face, I confess. Confess means to say out loud, by the way. It doesn't just mean to think it in your heart. Even when Jesus taught this prayer, Luke records, he said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father who is in heaven.'" I encourage you, whether in the group right now, where you can confess your faults one to another and be healed, or whether it's alone with God in your secret place, that you confess your sin and say it out loud. "I did this." Watch the power of your tongue when you come into agreement with heaven, and watch what of heaven fills and floods your soul with the experience of God's forgiveness. Or maybe what you need to do right now as you partake of communion, which you can do at any point in time, what you need to do right now is think of that person that you just really struggle to forgive from the heart. You want to do it. You have the will to do it. You know it's the right thing to do it. But your heart just resists it. Your heart was so hurt. Your heart got so broken, maybe over several years and over again, that same thing. And I want, with my mind, I want to forgive. And my spirit wants to forgive, but my heart's just stuck. Take those communion elements and apprehend the power of God to forgive the unforgivable. And invite God to do the supernatural work of release so that you can forgive from the heart. Whichever one it is, I encourage you, take a few moments now. Like I said, if you need to confess something out loud and you feel comfortable in your group, there is power in confessing your sin to other saints of God. You don't need to wait for some priest. You're sitting with a couple of priests right now. Say it out loud and then ask them to pray for you to be delivered of the temptation of that thing. All right, whatever it is you want to do with the Lord, go ahead and take a few moments now to do that with him. Go ahead and take a few moments to pray into that. As with every connection with heaven, once we've really fully woven our hearts and our spirit and our lives in together with heaven's agenda and heaven's way, it always makes our heart respond with worship. Jesus experienced that. Jesus knew that, of course. So we've connected first with God as Father. We've prayed in the context of our Father who is in heaven, with that name which is above every other name, that name which is holy, truly different from anything else. The name that we have now is our name. Holy is your name. We've prayed, kingdom of God come, will of God be on earth as it is in heaven, aligning our agenda for our lives, our day, and our whole journey, what lies ahead, with the agenda of heaven. We've said, I am part of this great work that's gone on. It's around the world and it's through the ages. From age to age, I've connected with that, and that is my agenda. That's my mission. That's my reason for everything I do today. Somehow, everything I do today fits into that one major agenda of heaven, which is that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God like the waters cover the seas. That's the kingdom of heaven and what it looks like. Who does not want to live in a world like that? Give us this day our daily bread. Our supply of all the grace we need, everything that Jesus purchased for us on the cross, everything that Jesus has, we've grabbed hold of that and said, I need that as much more than I need my next meal. I need my next download of what Jesus is going to provide me, grace for today. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. I've got a clean slate. And I've given everybody else a clean slate. Sun doesn't have a chance to go down in my anger because I just cleared the decks. Every day cleared the decks, just like my body does with all the waste products flowing around in it. Clears it all out. That's what it's designed to do anyway. Clear it all out. I'm clearing out my life and my heart of everything to do with sin, forgiveness, and unforgiveness. Leading me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. In other words, I don't know what you have in store for me today, but I pray you'll give me such a soft heart that you don't need to test. I don't need something to put pressure on me so that I'll lean into your will. And whatever the enemy's plans are for today, ruin them, foil them for me, deliver me from evil. And then we end up in this place of worship. We end up in this place of remembering that no matter what's about to happen, no matter what the season brings, no matter what the day brings, yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever. And our heart says, amen. That's the prayer he taught us how to pray. There ain't a boring thing about it. That prayer applied every day. How many of you think a nation could be born in a day when a billion people pray like that with authority? Convinced of the power of it every day. I'm just going to urge you to do it. We're going to close with actual worship, not just talk about worship, but actual worship. And I want to encourage you with something and put this out for us at Hillside. Pray the Lord's Prayer every day. Don't let it become rote. Don't let it become a religious exercise. There's going to be one portion of it in particular, I believe, that God's going to make real to you each and every day. And it may be a different part. Maybe it's just going to be the whole package sometimes. But I'm going to really urge you to do it, to really marinate not just in the truth of it, but the experience of it. See what God does in your life. See what God begins to do through your life. And let's watch what happens when heaven invades the earth. Let's stand to our feet and close out with a thunderous ovation of praise. And then I'll just say, God bless you now. I'm not going to get back up. God bless you and have an awesome week in Jesus.
Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for your power and your majesty. And we just pray that we could take this sense of awe that we have right now in your presence, that we could take it with us each day. Thank you, Jesus, for being a good father. Thank you for helping us to forgive. Thank you for helping us to live each day in your presence. And we thank you that your kingdom is growing and that we are part of that with you in Jesus' mighty name.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.